found out it wasn't too simple. I hope it's not too difficult. In Genesis 1:1, we read, "In the beginning, God." And that is, in the beginning, who? Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim. God introduces himself many times in the scripture, but I'm thinking of Moses, "I am. I am the Lord." Capital L, capital O, capital R, D. Capital G, capital O, capital D sometimes in the scriptures. Who is this? I am who? Jehovah, Yahweh. Almighty God. All right, so if you have a, if you have capital G, lowercase O, D, we just saw up there that that is Elohim, or sometimes a, an abbreviated version of Elohim, which is El, so that's a hint. Almighty God is who? Okay, so it's not too simple. El Shaddai. Most High God, El Elyon. Oh, let not the Lord, not in all caps, be angry, Adonai. Upon whom is Ezekiel calling when he says, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God," God in all capitals, Adonai, Jehovah. For whom is Jeremiah speaking in this verse? "Thus saith the Lord God," Lord in all capitals of Israel. Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. Hope that helps to kind of refresh our minds this morning. I ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 21. In verse 33, Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. The everlasting God. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the name of God, El Olam. El Olam, the everlasting God. The psalmist writes in 90, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Our God is truly the everlasting God. Now, the word Olam in the Hebrew is used in Scripture often, well over 400 times. And it is not always in reference to God. It's used generally many times, and I've listed some of those. It's translated ever, and I'm saying generally. Sometimes ever will refer to God, but I hope you understand what I'm saying here. Olam is used in a general sense ever 272 times. In Genesis 13, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Forever. It is translated everlasting 63 times. In Genesis 17, God said, "Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant." Olam. An everlasting covenant. On 22 occasions, the word Olam is translated old. In Deuteronomy 32, "Remember the days of old," that is Olam. On 22 occasions, we have the word perpetual in our King James Version. Perpetual. Genesis 9:12, "And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual," I like that word, "generations." Olam, perpetual. 15 times it is translated evermore. Ezekiel 37, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them for evermore. So there is an instance where Olam is used twice in the same verse, translated different ways, everlasting and evermore. And then sometimes, 13 of which, to be exact, the word is translated never in our English version. Psalm 30, verse 6, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. I shall never be moved. Other uses include time, the word time, ancient, the word world, which is interesting, always, and long. That is the way our King James Version of the Bible translates Olam. Olam. But we're not talking about general things. We're talking about the names of God. And here, Abraham called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. El Olam. El Olam. And so, while there are very few instances where we have El Olam, as we do in Genesis chapter 21, there are several occasions where the Scriptures speaks of the attribute of God, His everlasting attribute, and in His dealing, not only with man, but in His nature to Himself, His relationship to His creation. And so I have listed some of these, and we will go through them this morning. I would like to make sure and get to the last point, because it's a real blessing to me as I consider the name El Olam. But let's look at some of these verses. I have them listed for you this morning, and I hope that we can get a glimpse into our God's attributes and worship Him even more as we learn more of Him. I don't know if you are even familiar with this term El Olam. Anybody? Is this new to some of you? We hear El Shaddai. We heard that Brother Geary sang El Shaddai, and he mentioned, did I say Gary? Geary is who I meant. What did I say? El Yon, he mentioned that in that song. We hear that, but how about El Olam? Very familiar to you? Not to me. Not that much. In fact, Jukes, in the book, mentions the fact that it's not talked about very much, this name of God, El Olam. But as I say, I don't know that any of the studies for me personally have been a bigger blessing than this one has, and I hope to try to convey that and communicate that to you this morning. God is unchangeable. Unchangeable Jehovah Elohim. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 15. God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, Olam. And this is my memorial unto all generations. Proverbs 41, verse 13 reads, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. He is unchangeable. He says, this is my name, Jehovah, forever. Jehovah Elohim, forever. Everlasting. He is an everlasting help. In Deuteronomy 32, the eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge. and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Interesting, this word eternal is actually a different Hebrew word, but it means everlasting. It means eternal. We have, and we sing about them, everlasting arms upon which to lean. That is the God we serve, El Olam. The everlasting God. Would you want to serve any other? Would you want to serve a God who was not everlasting? Would you want to depend upon a God who was not everlasting? Some do. But what a vain effort it is. He is the indefatigable creator. Familiar with that one? Indefatigable creator. I thought it might be good to expand our vocabulary a bit. If that's not in your repertoire, maybe we could insert it. But it's not in the false glossary, Miss Alice. This is a real word. Indefatigable. He is untiring. Dads, have you ever been asked by your son, Dad, let's play ball? And you had just come out come home from the workplace, and you say, son, I just can't do it. I am not able right now. Can we just make an appointment tomorrow evening, son? Have you ever done that? I've done that, things like that. And then later I thought, you know, you should just take a deep breath and go play ball with your boy. But our God is not tiring. We serve a God that as we call upon Him in our weakness, in our distress, in our triumph in Christ, we call upon Him. He never will say, sorry, I just can't get to you. I am just too weak. I'm too tired. You realize what I'm dealing with. That's not our God. He is indefatigable. There you go. Isaiah 40, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? El Olam. He is the untiring, unweary Creator. El Olam is the everlasting Sovereign. And I wanted to put all the verses here that I ran across under this heading, but I included three of them. Exodus 15, 18. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Olam and Olam. The Lord is King forever and ever. Psalm 10, verse 16. Psalm 29, 10. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth King Olam. Forever. Ever. For Olam, I should say. He is the God of enduring mercy. How often have you read in the Psalms and elsewhere that His mercy endureth forever? I type that phrase, His mercy endureth forever, into the computer, and it came up over 40 times. His mercy endureth forever. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Our God is a merciful God. The Bible speaks of His being full of mercy. Full of mercy. Well, how big is God? Measurable? No, not that I see in the Scriptures. He's not measurable, but yet we're told that He, in His eternal wonder and glory is full of mercy. Full of mercy. You see how open-ended that is? A term like full or empty denotes measurement. And yet God is immeasurable, but He's full of mercy. It would help some Christians to be reminded that our God is a merciful God. And I'm glad He is. He is the infinite judge over His creation. In Psalm 9, verse 7, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment." God is also the judge of His creation. More precisely, He has committed the judgment, Jesus says, to His Son. He endures forever. Reflecting back again on your home life, for just for clarification, maybe you young people have thought this: I know that Mama said when she got home that I was going to have to go cut the crabapple switch, but maybe she'll forget. Have you ever thought about that? And so when she comes home, you're like, "Oh, Mom, how glad I am to see you today. How was your day anyway? Huh? Can I get you anything? Would you like a cup of tea? Here, sit down here. Let me massage your feet, Mom." Now, if you do that, you're busted already. But still, your hope is that she will have forgotten what she said. Because she has pronounced judgment on you, told you to clean your room, and if you didn't, it meant a switch. There's the judgment and the punishment prescribed. But there's always a glimmer of hope in the little one that Mom might forget, or that her judgment will not endure. Sometimes it doesn't. And you walk out saying, "Yes." Our God, however, is an enduring God. He has set His throne for judgment. He has prepared His throne for judgment. Well, didn't Jesus take care of all of that? He's going to. Of course, we who are redeemed by His blood know that He bore our judgment for sin. But there's judgment coming. And we lately have been speaking of the condition. In fact, we've been praying in the men's meeting and other places about the condition of our nation. We sat around the bonfire the other night talking about these things. What's going to happen to America? I will promise you this, while I can't see into the future, that God's throne has been prepared for judgment. And there are certain principles in the Word of God that have not changed about adherence to what He says, obedience to His law, and the wages of sin is death. These are principles that have not changed. And so our God is infinite as a judge over His creation. He is the unending object of our praise. In Psalm 44, verse 8, "In God we boast all the day long and praise Thy name, Olam," for Olam, forever, forever. "I will make Thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise Thee for Olam and Olam." Forever. And what are we going to do in heaven? What are we going to do in eternity? What are we going to do in the new earth Whatever it is that we're going to do, we will praise Him forever and ever. And isn't He worthy? I'm thankful that He has allowed us to do so down here with these limited bodies that we have, the limitations of our flesh, and we're still, through the Lord Jesus Christ, able to praise Him. And I'm glad to say this morning we are going to continue that forever and ever. That is the nature of our God. He is the unending object of our praise. He is the watchful potentate of the nations. In Psalm 66:7, He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Case in point, as we spoke a moment ago. Let not the rebellious... Rebellious against what? Against what God has said. Against what God has given us. We hold up and wave the eternal Word of God. Rebellious. And while God seems in some ways regarding judgment to be silent, where are You, Lord? Sort of like in Gideon's day when the Lord came to Gideon. And Gideon, in essence, says, why is all this happening? If You are on the throne, why is all this happening? It seems that He's silent, perhaps, regarding our nation. Remember, He ruleth by His power forever. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. El Olam. He is the glorious name above every name. Psalm 72, verse 17 and 19. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth... You're singing it right now, aren't you? Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen and amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. His name endures. That is El Olam. His name endureth forever. He is the never-failing help of the saints. Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth. You're singing again, aren't you? But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Does that sink into us? My flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength. Not God strengthens. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Look at that word portion sometime when you're at home, at what it means. It's a blessing. Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah, that is Jah Jehovah, is everlasting strength. He can be trusted. How long? Forever. You can trust Him. Well, I don't know if I can get through it. You can trust Him. Well, my friends have failed me. They will. They will. It happens. I will. It happens. He won't. Never happens. Trust in Him. He is able to be trusted, and He's worthy to be trusted. Never failing help. He is the everlasting righteous God of His Word. Psalm 119, that famous Word of God psalm. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and Thy law is the truth. In Isaiah 40, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. The Word of God. He who denies the existence of God, he who wants something he can see, I would say look no further than your coffee table where sits the Word of God. How long has it been around? Long time. How long is it going to be around? There's your eyesight. There's your proof. The Word of God endures forever. He is the unstoppable first cause of all things. In Ecclesiastes 3:14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before Him. I like this. Nothing can be added to it nor taken from it. Somebody comes up with an idea. Why don't we try this as a church? Why don't we try a ministry to fill in the blank? And we get behind it, and that's good. Let's try that. Let's see what the Lord will do. And we implement some thoughts. And then a year later, somebody says, well, you know, I've noticed that when we go out and we pass out the Gospel of John, sometimes we don't go because, I'm just throwing something out, because it's been raining and we don't want to get the Gospel of John soggy. And so someone says, well, why don't we get the little plastic bags and we can put them in and hang them on doorknobs. Well, let's think about what? Let's think about adding that. That's the way we are. That's how we adjust, right? Or let's don't. That's a terrible idea. Let's don't add that. So don't get nervous, Brandon. Let's don't do that. This is an idea. Why? Because there are things that we do that require adding or taking away from. We are limited in that. Our God, in His being as the first cause, whatever He does, it is forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. Lasts forever. That is El Olam, our God everlasting. He is the vengeful, ever-living deity. Jeremiah 10:10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. Kind of a theme that kind of keeps popping up here, doesn't it? The thoughts that we've had recently about the world and our nation and the direction in which we're headed. The earth trembles. It becomes laughable. And we almost blasphemous as we say things about, well, that must be God doing something. The earth trembles. But here the Word of God says, the earth trembles. And it is Him. It is Him. It is His work. It is His footstool. It is in His hand, the earth. And He is the God of vengeance. And He meets it out. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Of course, though, appropriately, I suppose, we end on this one. He is the loving, eternal husband of His people. Something we've dealt with before. Hosea 2:19, and I will betroth thee unto me for Olam. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, if you prefer. And in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercy. He is that loving, eternal husband. I am a husband unto them. According to Strong's Concordance, Olam is from the root word Alam, which means concealed. Interesting. Concealed. Secret. Or hidden. As in Psalm 55:1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself. That is Alam. And that is the root of Olam. Why? Why? What difference or what impact does that root word have on Olam? Well, the emphasis, I believe, is when we use Olam from the root word Alam, mysterious, secret, hidden. Seems to be that that everlasting quality of Jehovah that is beyond our mental grasp or concealed from us. Now stay with me here. As our concept of eternity seems to fade into a mist of wonder. Pardon the poetry this morning, but is that not what happens to you when you really enter into trying to conceive of eternity? I'll say, well, I believe we'll live forever. Amen. That's good preaching. Let's go on. But then if you sit by yourself and you consider what eternity is, it sort of becomes a fog because we can't grasp it in this mortal flesh. So our understanding of God as El Olam, the everlasting God, is past finding out. The God everlasting. Perhaps after 1,000 years in eternity, we can talk again about our understanding of the everlasting God. And it may be that even then we will say, I still haven't got it all. I still haven't understood Him completely. Now here's something for a parting word for your consideration. Andrew Jukes, in the book The Names of God, which has roughly been my guide in this study, translates El Olam literally as the God of the age. The God of the age. Now, this is my thought, not his. So if you don't like it, blame me, all right? Consider the condescension of the eternal Godhead to mankind. The everlasting God, without the constraints of time. There's nothing that constrains Him time-wise, is there? Isn't that what eternity implies? That there's no... God has never said something like, well, I better get going here. No. Well, I've got to be at such and such by such and such. No, that's not our God. He is everlasting to everlasting. And yet He has condescended to us. He is not only the God everlasting, but if we will at least entertain this notion of Mr. Jukes, that the word could be translated, He is the God of the age, then we see that God has condescended and has become the God of time. Now, how does your Bible start? In what? The beginning. Does God have a beginning? No, your Bible has opened. The Word of God has begun with a time statement. In the beginning. How does it end? Surely I come what? Quickly. It ends in Revelation with a time statement. Our God is the God everlasting, but He has condescended to you and to me, and here, this day, God is the God of time. He is the God of your lifetime. He is the God of your cares right now. He cares about you November the 2nd, 2014. He is the God of eternity, but He is also the God of the age, the God of time. He created the world in 6 days, we're told. He gives the precise years of time in the genealogy of His godly seed. Open Genesis and look at how precise the genealogies are. Is this just man-made? No. This is God's Word. He is the God of the age. He is the God of time. He gives the exact number of years when revealing His plan to the prophets, whether it is the years of Israel's captivity or of the coming Messiah, for instance, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, 400 years of captivity. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, 70 weeks are determined. And then, the most glorious part of this is that in the fullness of the time, or when, the Bible says, the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. When, fullness of the time. He is the God of time. He is the God of ages. The eternal attributes of God, El Olam, everlasting to everlasting, do not restrict His sovereignty over the time of our lives. He is the God of time. He knows you. He knows about your life, hence your lifetime. He cares for His own. He cares about your days. He cares about today. What you're facing, what you're thinking, what you desire, what you need, He is the God of time. Here is the wonder of our El Olam. He is the everlasting God. He is the God of the age. Paul tells his young preacher, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory," what does it say? "Forever and ever." Amen and amen. Thank you, Father, this morning. Thank you, everlasting God, that you are not constrained by time, and yet you have seen fit to meet with us today. Lord, may this day, may this point in time be honorable to the everlasting God. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.